flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. Just a quick.
3 to 6, yeah.
So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God.
All right, now we're going to use Bible Hub here. So if you go to Bible Hub, the one with the Hebrew, the interlinear. So you've saved it on your phone. So you've got it on your home screen, and it go to this verse. So up the top, instead of Genesis 1, which you should have, go to Exodus 3. And you should have the interlinear chapter there. Would that be what you're looking at now?
Yep.
You got all that? Looks like that?
Yep.
Have you got that one, Lavina? I sent that through to you last night. No, Bible. The Bible Hub. No, when I sent it by text to you, the actual link to give to your friend. But if you can help Medina get hers up.
This is the angel of Yahweh.
It's interesting, isn't it? Can you see the word Yahweh there in Hebrew?
Yes, but it's got some...
Did you get it, Lavina?
Different dashes.
Exodus 3, verse 1, interlinear. Is this the interlinear? Dean, could you just help them get that on their phone, mate? You'll do it twice as quick as... Is it interlinear? Dean, could you get Genesis 1:1 on their phone and save that as the home screen, so that every week they'll just press that and go to Genesis 1:1? Have you got yours as Genesis 1:1?
You want Genesis
1:1? No. Doesn't matter what. No. Yeah. Interlinear. You got the Hebrew there, the whole chapter.
Yeah.
Give it here, Melon.
Yeah,
Melon. Wow, why is that gone so small? Let's get this on the phone properly.
Yeah, I'm trying to save it to
Yeah, it's
bigger.
Yeah, it's better. Right now, here, we're doing interlinear.
It's so good.
Oops, there it is there. Interlinear chapters. Can you save? Oh, hang on. There it is. Can you save that as on your home screen? Save that there. Before you do anything else, save that.
I'm sorry, I'll pop a few.
Has she got hers on there?
No,
It's
oh, you're sort
here, but
I must put it in the
kitchen.
Don't worry, I'll do it. It shouldn't take too long.
You don't have an option.
I'm just wondering whether maybe I've got
it. It's an apple?
Yeah.
It's an apple. And it's yours. And you can hear it too. Not only that.
Yeah.
So you hear the right pronunciation.
Yeah. Good, that's good.
Yeah.
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 Don't worry, the genius can't
work.
I've saved it as
a bookmark. Okay, so now let's. Can you see how this works here? And Moses, you're reading from the right?
Yeah, and Moses,
right? And Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock behind the desert and came to the mountain of God. Can you see that?
Yeah.
What's the word for God?
Get all of them.
You need to
and he led the chapters.
Okay. Actually, even says it there, but
that should not. Elohim.
It's somewhere there. Is that Exodus 3?
No, it's changed.
It's Elohim.
So, what's the word for God?
Elohim.
That God is the mountain of God. That's not Elohim.
No, it's it. Just stop for a second. Just stop. You've got to go to the chapter. See, it says here, click for chapter.
You're very smart, brother.
It's all right. It's, I'm, this is part of the learning.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't feel stressed. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm trying to teach.
So you can see more.
The process of learning is what I'm teaching here as well. So. But okay, so don't get stressed. I'm not angry. I'm not frustrated. This is part. I want to teach you how I learn. I want to teach you because once you learn this, you'll this is how you'll learn.
It's amazing.
So we'll get to that point of Elohim. See what it says in the. Shall we read it through together now? We've all got it. And Moses, from the right hand side.
Yeah.
And Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock behind the desert and came to the mountain of God. What's the word for God?
Elohim.
Elohim. Im is plural. Okay? Elohim. Him, anything with an I-M on the end is plural. Mountain of God. Horeb. And appeared, right, we're into the angel of what?
Yahweh.
Now, what did we learn to write this morning?
Yahweh.
Can you
see?
Okay, so you've got all the vowels there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so the it's got more squiggles on it.
If you take away the vowels,
okay, taking away the squiggles, you've got a yod.
So yod. The original they write.
Yes, Miss Jane. In the Masoretic text, they do.
Okay.
So you've got a yod, see it there?
Yep.
Yod, a hey, which is the second letter, moving from the right. A yod, a hey, a vav, a hey. Can you see it?
Yeah.
Yes. A yod, a hey, a vav, a hey.
Yeah.
It is the tetragrammaton, I think that's how they say it. It's the four letter name of God. YHWH. What? YHWH.
Yeah.
Okay, so Yahweh. And the angel of Yahweh is said Malak Yahweh.
Malak
is the word, the Hebrew word for angel. It's a beautiful word, isn't it? Malak. Malak Yahweh. So Yalak Yahweh, if you're allowed to say Yahweh. Well, they would say Malak Hashem or Malak Adonai. They would say. But the actual, for teaching purposes, if I do that, we're not going to learn. Because I'm going to just have to say it, you know. So, the angel, Malak Yahweh. Okay? Can you see that?
Yeah.
All right, now. Go back to your English version of this. I mean, you can keep reading that. I just find that a bit difficult to read that way. And we're just looking at this again Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of Elohim. And the angel of Yahweh, Malach Yahweh, appeared to him in what?
A flame of fire
from the midst of the bush. Who appeared to him in the flame of fire?
Malach Yahweh.
Malach Yahweh, the angel of Yahweh, the angel of God. All right. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire. But the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord, what word would that be?
Yahweh.
When the Lord Yahweh saw that he turned aside to look, God, who's that?
Elohim.
Hang on a second.
Yeah, there's two different things.
What's happening here?
There's Yahweh and Elohim. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. What's happening here? When the angel of the Lord, or sorry, when the Lord Yahweh saw that he turned aside to look, Elohim called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And he, who would have been Yahweh, said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he, who would have been Yahweh, said, I am the God. Now, what's the word for God in that?
Elohe.
Elohe. So it's a singular. Elohe. I am Elohe of your father, the God Elohe of Abraham, the God Elohe of Isaac, and the God Elohe of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God Elohim.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you just to keep this in your mind, because remember, we're trying to find, remember the context of us looking for this is, what are the two immutable things that make the Abrahamic covenant unbreakable? That the New Testament writer, I say that for real, so the New Testament, because people get concerned if I say Old Testament, but this is the New Testament, I'm reading Hebrews. For those who hang up between Old and New Testament, which no one here does, but this is Hebrews. I'm not talking about... This is Hebrews we're studying at the moment, which is from Genesis 15. What are the two immutable things here? We know that walking through the covenant is a smoking oven and a burning, or a blazing torch, or a fiery torch, flaming torch. Okay, so let's have a look at a few instances, because we think that the New Testament defines a Trinity, right? Like we get the doctrine. The Jews don't believe there's a Trinity. It's the Shema says, "Hear, O Israel, God, the Lord is God, the Lord is one." One God. The New Testament, what does the New Testament teach? Trinity. Does the New Testament teach three gods or one God?
One God. Three gods. Depends whether you include the verses that have been removed or not.
Triune Godhead.
It's true.
The New Testament doesn't teach more than one God. The New Testament teaches one God. But it teaches the idea of a Trinity, right? This is where we get the word Trinity, which is actually not in the Bible. There's no word Trinity in the Bible. But in fact, the Old Testament, or the Tanakh, talks about two. And I can prove three. But in first century, Jewish people had no problem with what they call two powers. Right? Modern Jews don't believe in the Trinity because it gives room for Jesus being, you know, fulfilling the claim of being the Son of God.
Okay? They believe in God.
At least. So they only believe in one God, but they believe, and we've already seen it in this verse. There is room for two entities in that verse. One called Malach Yahweh, and the other one Elohim, or even Yahweh. Malach Yahweh and Yahweh, or Malach Yahweh and Elohim. We've seen the Elohei Abram, Elohei Isaac and Yitzhak, and Elohim Yaakov, the God of Abram, Isaac and Jacob. But let's move on.
Just a quick one, yeah. Sir. I'm sorry. Genesis, at the very beginning, where it says, "Let us make man in our image." That's a plural. Or it would be two. What you're talking about? They would believe that. Where it says, "Let us make man in our image," it was plural. Was it singular? Was it?
No, but it's the Jewish people don't believe that. They believe that as he had already created the heavens and the earth, he was now speaking to his creation, or the earth. There's two different views on that. He's talking to the angels now, "Let us make man in our image," and he's talking to the earth, "Let us make man in our image," as in, "Out of the dust, I'll provide the breath, you provide the dust, and we will make..." So from a Jewish perspective, they're different views.
Okay.
Yeah. We're Christians, straight away we say, "Oh, us."
No.
You know, as in the Trinity, but the Jewish people don't necessarily believe. Okay, Genesis chapter 28.
Which again, when you look at this translation here, first of all, Elohim, you put it as a capital letter G. The Hebrew Bible uses the plurality, so it speaks about family beings. Verse 3, one Exodus, the Elohim, the plurality.
Right.
Yes, it's given as a capital letter G. Elohim is the way
it runs. Well, yeah, right. I mean, that's right. And there's a... The translators put their they speak through their filter. That's why you can now see it. If you know how, you can see what it's actually written.
Yeah.
You know, you can check it out, double check it, and you won't. I mean, most of the time you're just reading English. But if you want to, is that what that says? Go back and you can now check it. If you know what you're looking for, you can check. I know that the New King James, when it uses the word "the Lord," it's speaking Yahweh. It says so in the foreword of the New King James Bible. When we use the words "the Lord," it is a translation of Yahweh. Okay, Genesis 28. Now this is verse 10. What's that?
How can they want to be just as Yahweh?
Yeah.
They want to be called Jewish.
Some versions do. Some versions put Jehovah. Some versions do that. Now Jacob, this is Genesis chapter 10, Genesis chapter 28, verse 10. Verse 10 to 17. Now someone new can read that one.
Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place.
I'm sorry, forgive me.
Genesis 28, verse 10.
And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head. And he lay in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending.
Okay, just pause there. Go in your Bible Hub app to Genesis 28:10, just to see what the Hebrew would be for the angels of God. This is plural, I guess. This is Genesis 28:12 at the moment. Has anyone got that? That? 28:12, yeah.
Angels? Malachi.
Malachi, yeah. And God? So Malakai Elohim. So we've got the angels, it's now translated angels of God. Malakai Elohim. Okay, keep going.
And behold, the Lord stood above it and said.
Just pause for a second. Who is the Lord in that verse 13?
Not Elohim, Yahweh.
Okay, it's Yahweh. So now, Yahweh, what was happening with Yahweh?
Stood above it.
Yeah, keep, and said.
I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac.
Okay, just pause. What does he say, the Lord God? What is that?
I am Yahweh.
Yahweh? God, Elohe. Okay, Yahweh, Elohe. That's where they get the Lord God. Yahweh, Elohe. Yahweh, Elohe. Yahweh, Elohe. Okay? Keep going. I'm just drawing it. I'm just giving a bit of practice at this as well. This is more.
So this is identifying what those words are.
Yes.
More, like fleshing it out more.
Yes. Yeah, well, so you can identify when it's talking about Yahweh, when it's talking about the name, Hashem. Hashem is the name, Hashem. Yahweh. And when it's talking about the word God, Elohim. When it's talking about Malak. Yahweh, the angel of God, the name of Yahweh, the angel of Yahweh, the angels of God, Malakai Elohim.
The variations of it.
The variations of this. Also, because we learnt, before you arrived here, we learnt how to write the word Yahweh, because we're up to that now. So you'll have to catch up with those, because that's, otherwise you're going to slip. So, keep going here, Dean, sorry.
God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac, the land on which you lie.
Can you speak up a bit because I'm typing here?
Right. The land of which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven.
Okay, so we see this amazing situation here. This is not the covenant of Abraham, because this is not Abraham who the Lord is speaking to. Who is the Lord speaking to?
Jacob.
And yet he's talking of the very same covenant that he made with Abram. That's why in Hebrews he can say the covenant he made with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. We'll see later that he does make the same covenant with Isaac and he does make the same covenant with Jacob. But here, in this dream, or he's put to sleep like Abraham was, ironically, he's seeing the same things. There's angels descending, angels of God, and then Yahweh who appears at the top. Yahweh, this is God. Yahweh is speaking to him and giving him this promise. And so he wakes up from this thing. He says, oh, this is none other than the house of God. What is that in Hebrew?
Bethel.
It is Bethel. But what does it say in your app?
House. The house of God?
Yeah.
Bet Elohim.
Now, we know that Bet or Beit. Beit.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. Beit. No, that's fine. Beit is house. Elohim, God. Beit Elohim, the house of God. Does it make sense in Hebrew? Beit Elohim, house of God. You can write that. Or no, you can't write that yet. Not yet, there's a letter missing.
Elohim and Elohim, what's the difference between them?
The word for God, general God, like it could be, it's just the general word God. Is Elohim.
Right.
It's just what it is.
Yes.
The base of that is El, which is God, and Elohe is God of.
Okay.
So Elohei is God of Abraham. Elohei Yitzhak is God of Isaac. Elohei Yaakov is God of Jacob. So the base word's El. Okay? But the interesting thing of the word of God is that it's a word that is singular because it can refer to one, but in it is a plurality because the Im is plural. Some Christians try to use this as proof that God is three in one, but it's not a good argument because the same is said of angels. Okay, so...
Heavenly beings.
So gods, God. It's sort of gods, but it's God. It's singular. It's one of those rare words that's singular, but it's plural.
So is this a dumb question? Sorry.
Yeah.
Is Elohim and Yahweh the same?
They're two different words.
They're two different words.
One is... One distinctly refers to Yahweh, God, the God of heaven, Hashem, Adonai, the great God, the God. The other is a word that just means God.
In scripture, Elohim is used for false gods as well. But right. Yahweh is never used.
It's actually his name.
Yeah.
You're a man, but so is he.
Yeah, okay.
But you're Cam. He's not.
Yeah. So,
okay.
So there's Father, and then there's a God.
Right.
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Good question.
I think in Psalm 82, that's what they use, the Elohim, and they use it as a plurality.
A little lower.
Yeah, the small e. That clarifies the value of it.
Okay, so now to help us understand Genesis 28, which we just read, let's go to Genesis 31, starting in verse 11 to 13. Someone reads that, of course.
Which was?
Genesis 31, 11 to 13.
Then the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, here I am. And he said, lift your eyes now and see all the rams which sleep on the rock, on the flocks are streaked, speckled, and grey spotted. For I have seen all that Laban was doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land and return to the land of your family.
All right, now, let's pause for a second. We've got to take this in. The angel of God, which I'll just beat you to, it's Malach HaElohim, the angel of the Lord, the angel of God, who we know it was the angel of the Lord that now is speaking to Jacob. And yet back in that account in 28, it said it was Yahweh, didn't it? Who was standing at the top of the ladder. But now in 31, it's saying the angel of God, Malach HaElohim, spoke to me in a dream saying, Jacob, here I am. And he's talking about the flocks. Do you remember Jacob came up with this ingenious plan to make spotted and speckled? Well, that was God who spoke to him about that. But in verse 13, I am the God of Bethel. What's that say in your Hebrew? I love this. I love how this says this.
I am the God
of Bethel. You got it. You got it. No, that's actually a ha. Ha-el be-el.
You sound like a terrorist.
Ha-el be-el. Can you see Bethel in there? Mm-hmm. I am the God of Bethel. Ha-el bet-el. Or Bethel. Ha-el bet-el. I love that. What a lovely little term. I am the God of Bethel. Ha-el, the God. Bethel, house of God. In English, we've just translated the God of Bethel, but it's actually literally, I am the God of the house of God. Yes, please. I am the God of the house of God. How good's that? So, in Genesis 28, he's called Yahweh. In Genesis 31, he's called the angel of God, and he is the God of Bethel, Betel. So how is this possible? How can the angel of the Lord also be God? And how can the angel of God be called Yahweh?
Well, Christians would say the angel is Jesus.
They would. They would. They would. We would say that there was some pre-appearance. Not all Christians say that, but many do.
Angel is capitalized in the book of Joshua.
Don't worry about capitalized, that's English translation.
Okay, but like he bowed down to the angel, and angel doesn't.
Right, let's read that. Joshua 6, verse 13.
That was an easy segue, wasn't it?
Beautiful, thank you, Dean. I'll fix you up afterwards for that one.
Joshua 6:13.
And 2:7:2. Joshua chapter 6, verse 13 through to Joshua 7, verse 2. Shall I read this one? Since you're all jumping on to read. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, so they've just crossed the after 40 years of traveling the desert, Joshua has led the children of Israel into the promised land. He lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. A man stood opposite him. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" So he said, "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Oh, commander of the army of the Lord. Yeah, have you got this one? Joshua 6 again. Are you having trouble finding it?
Yeah, that's not what mine says.
Have I got the wrong chapter? Possible. It should maybe 5, is it? I thought it was 6.
Oh, this is
talking
about 6:13.
Is it 5:13? I'm sorry. It's 5:13. Sorry.
Yeah. So it didn't seem right.
You're all going, whoa, what's going on? So, yeah, okay. Let me change that.
It's 5:13. Sorry. 6:2.
Yeah, right.
Otherwise, it's a long read.
Yeah, it's not that long.
Yeah, that sounds better.
Is that better? It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or our adversaries?" And he said, "No, but as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped. They're not allowed to do that. They're not allowed to do that to anyone but God, are they? They've just learnt the law, the 613 mitzvot, commandments that had come from Mount Sinai. Joshua knew more than anyone, you cannot worship anybody but God, or it's an idol. But here's Joshua, the great leader of the nation of Israel, the commander of the nation of Israel, is bowing down to the commander of the army of the Lord and worshipped him and said, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "What?
Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand on that holy." This is translating from.
Let me read it. Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. Have we heard that before, anyway?
Yeah.
Who was at the bush? Malach, Yahweh, the angel of the Lord, and Yahweh. So this one that Joshua is worshipping, who calls himself the commander of the Lord's army, Joshua, the head of the nation of Israel, bows down and worships him, and this person says, take off your sandals, for the ground which you're standing on is holy. What's going on here? And then Joshua 6 verse 1. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord, the word Yahweh, said to Joshua, see, I've given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. It is assumed that the same person gave him the strategy for Jericho. Because it then goes on to talk about the strategy for winning Jericho. So the commander of the army of the Lord identifies himself as Yahweh. Yeah, right.
I've got a question, and that is
the Hebrew is small.
The what?
The Hebrew here.
No, the Hebrew is small.
I thought you said wrong.
Okay. What do you say?
No, the Hebrew is lowercase.
No, the Hebrew doesn't have lowercase. Are you talking about the English translation of the Hebrew? Don't worry about the English.
I have a question, and that is, yeah. He says, what does my Lord say to his servant?
Right.
And the word he uses for my Lord is Agonai.
Okay, so my Lord.
How does that fit in? Is that, that's just his...
Adonai? Or Agonai?
Agonai. A-G-O-N-I.
Well, it does say when it says the Lord, they're saying Yahweh.
It says my Lord.
Said my Lord.
Yeah, so there is a word for Lord.
Is that just general master?
Yeah.
Right. So that's his
It's interesting it says Agonai. Why I said Adonai is also Lord. No, that's Adonai.
It is Adonai. Right. I'm going to begin at
No, but you know that's what they say to mix out the word Yahweh? They use Adonai.
Right.
When they say Baruch Hashem, no. When they say grace, Baruch Hashem, praise the Lord, praise the name, Adonai, so the master. So the word master, right. Lord, right. Is Adonai.
So it's a general term.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You okay with this, guys?
So we're still
taking time. We need to build foundations. We really do, hey?
We're still finding out
the two immutable things. So let's keep moving because... Yes. Commander, what's the word for commander?
So it's backwards S-E, I'm during that.
It's Sar. Just Sar.
Sar.
So
it's another term here. We've got angel of the Lord, we've got angel of God, we've got angel of Yahweh, we've got commander of the Lord. It's referred to him as a man. And we've got, what other words? We've got Elohim, we've got Elohei, Avram, Elohim, Yitzhak, Elohim, Yaakov. We've got, we've got this reference to Joshua, the commander of the physical army of Israel, bowing down to the commander of the Lord's army. Who else is called the Lord of hosts?
Yahweh.
In the New Testament.
Jesus.
Yeah.
That's Jesus. That's another presentation of Jesus as commander of the Lord's army.
I'm not making that assumption yet because we're still studying it, but
Revelation.
Yeah. The Lord of hosts. Okay.
He's awesome.
Yeah, right.
But when he said it's a man, that's his interpretation. Like
correct.
When he said my Lord, it's just him as master. That was his view of who that was.
Yeah, well, it says, he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. Yes.
It was in the appearance of a man.
Right.
But there's way more to it than that.
Oh, definitely. But in the same way,
well, he may have been.
We can extrapolate that Jesus is a man.
Yeah.
Who came in the physical appearance of a man.
Yeah.
And yet he was very God.
Yeah.
You know, so... Anyway, we don't want to draw that conclusion yet, because I'm still working out the two immutable things.
Yeah.
Which were a smoking oven and a fire, but we just need to step by step, otherwise we'll gloss over it. We don't want to gloss over it. We'll remember this day. We'll remember this table. We'll remember we learned about the angel of the Lord and Yahweh, okay? Okay, Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. We're going to race through these next few. In fact, now let's look at it.
Because we want to rush to Mishnah?
Midrash. You're a good man, mate, I tell
Sometimes
you.
Sometimes I have a rash.
Exodus
13, 21, 22.
And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day, or the pillar of fire by night from before the
Lord. Now, who was this?
This was the Lord.
The Lord. Now, who's the Lord in your Hebrew?
Yahweh.
It's easy. It's Yahweh. So the Lord appears in the form of a pillar of cloud and fire. And he leads them through for 40 years. Exodus 14, 24. You can read some yourself, if you want to.
Exodus
14, 24. But if someone else gets there first. Exodus 14.
Yeah. 24. Now it came to pass in the morning watch, and the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians.
Okay, so he's looking out through the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. When Moses was at the bush, the burning bush, what was happening? He was speaking out through the fire, wasn't he? Okay, and then we go to Exodus chapter 19 and verse 18. And this is an account of the top of Mount Sinai when God comes down. That's Exodus 19, 18. You can have a read if you want to.
Okay.
Can you read?
I can only read Hebrew.
Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke descended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly.
So who was this?
The Lord.
Now who is the Lord?
Yahweh.
Yahweh. And Yahweh descended upon Mount Sinai in what? In fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace. Smoke and fire. Smoke and fire. Exodus 24, verse 16.
Sorry, Exodus 24, 16.
Yeah.
Exodus
19.
24, 16. Yeah, I got it. Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud.
17.
The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel.
So who was it on the mountain?
Yahweh.
And what was there? The cloud. And he spoke out of the cloud, the midst of the cloud, and the sight of the glory of the Lord, Yahweh, was like a consuming fire. So it was the cloud and the fire, the smoke and the fire.
Is this a reference to
the
consuming fire for the burnt offering?
Consuming fire for the burnt offerings.
When they have the offerings
on the
fire.
Right. Yeah.
Is that what they mean?
Yeah, well, yes. I mean, that's what I'm trying to show you here with lots and lots of references, the link between Yahweh, smoke, and fire. Remember on the day of Pentecost? When the Spirit of God came down, what did you get?
So my next question is, when it says, well, it said it was...
Don't get too involved with that, you guys. You can have a chat afterwards. You can have a midrash.
Mishnah or midrash?
Midrash.
Because we're on this track, and we've been talking about this week, but it says they were baptized by water and fire.
You never hear the baptism of fire preached.
Can we pause on that one? Because that's we'll get to all of that, but we've got to just establish something that you won't forget today. It's why I'm taken the whole time just to get in our mind.
It's the miscut.
You see me after class, okay?
Okay.
Sorry, so Greg, so what, in summary, wherever there's a reference, you pointed out to where there's a smoke and fire, God speaking out of that, is a reference to Yahweh.
There's a reference to the entity.
Yes, we're going to see. I'm going to show you. We're going.
Keep.
There's more, my friend. Let's just. Let's get. We're just. I mean, in the Old Testament, when would you do you reckon God manifested him the most in the Old Covenant? Would it not have been on Mount Sinai? How did he manifest? Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Like in terms of manifest himself to the people of Israel, would have been Mount Sinai.
Yeah.
Like they made the covenant. There's some very important. Now they made a covenant with God. Was that the Abrahamic covenant?
No.
That's a different covenant, isn't it? They made a covenant. This will clear up a lot of problems with... A lot of people have problems with Galatians and Hebrews. Hebrews 8 is a problem for people. Because a covenant was made on Mount Sinai. Covenant was made. And a covenant is between two parties. Covenant is not the Torah. A covenant is a covenant. Well, anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. So, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 4.
The Lord talked with you face to face on the mountain from the midst of the fire.
Right. The Lord is who?
Yahweh.
Yahweh spoke to who? Moses, face to face on the mountain. How? From the midst of the fire. Do we find that anywhere else? Was it not the burning bush through which the Lord spoke to Moses? Through the midst of the fire? Didn't he speak to the children of Israel through the midst of the fire?
What verse is it that says no one has seen the face of God and lived?
It's great.
And is that God Yahweh or God Elohim or God?
It's interesting, isn't it? Because Joshua did see a man face to face.
Yeah.
But no one can see the face of Yahweh and live.
But this says it does. Someone has.
Yeah. Judges chapter 13. Now this is a bit of a long one. I might read this one. But I'd like you to... Why don't you have a look in your Bible app, Hub, as well. Why don't you follow it in the Bible app? I'll read it in English. And you just have a look at the Hebrew there.
Judges?
13, hopefully. Judges 13, verse 3. Just tell me when you've got that. Right on time.
Yeah.
And the angel of the Lord, what's that one?
Angel of Yahweh.
Malak Yahweh, appeared to the woman and said, this is the account of Samson, and said to her, indeed, you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Verse 8, drop down to 8. Manoah prayed to the father and said, oh my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again. Now, he appeared as a man, right, this particular one. Come to us again, teach us what should we do for the child who will be born. And God, what word's that? Verse 9. Elohim?
Yeah.
Listen to the voice of Manoah and the angel of God. What's that one?
Manak.
Elohim. Okay, Malak. It's not Malak Yahweh, it's Malak Elohim. Came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. Then the woman ran in haste and told her husband and said to him, look, the man who came to me the other day has just appeared to me. The man. Okay. So Manoah arose and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said to him, are you the man who spoke to this woman? He said, I am. Manoah said, now let your words come to pass. What will the boy's rule of life and his work be his work? And so the angel of the Lord, Malak Yahweh, said to Manoah, so is this the same guy? The man? Yes, it is. But he's now referred to as Malak Yahweh. The angel of the Lord said to Manoah, of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor may she drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, all that I commanded her, let her observe. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, Malach Yahweh, please let us detain you, and we will prepare a young goat for you. And the angel of the Lord, Malach Yahweh, said to Manoah, though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord. Who? Yahweh. Hang on. For Manoah did not know that he was the angel of the Lord. Malach Yahweh. Mm-hmm. He thinks he's talking to a man.
Yeah.
You're all good? All good?
All great.
Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, Malach Yahweh, what is your name? That when your words come to pass, we may honor you. And the angel of the Lord, Malach Yahweh, said to him, why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful?
Seeing it is wonderful? What?
That proves he was African then. They all have names like that.
That's great.
Wonderful.
So Manoah took the young goat and the grain offering and offered it up on the rock to the Lord, and he did a wondrous thing while Manoah and his wife looked on. It happened as the flame went up towards heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord, Malach Yahweh, ascended in the flame of the altar.
Wow.
When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. When the angel of the Lord, Malach Yahweh, appeared no more to Manoah and his wife, and Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord, Malach Yahweh.
There's a few people going on there, isn't there?
There is. We've got two more scriptures that we're going to read, then we'll call it a day, and we'll talk about immutable next week. I just wanted to get this into you. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1.
2
Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1. D. So someone can read that.
When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple.
And two.
And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house.
So there's this glory of the Lord, which is called Kabbal. You'll see it there. It's Kabbal, Yahweh. The glory of the Lord filled the temple after the fire came down. What was the glory of the Lord? What did it manifest like? Like a cloud. Right? This is Solomon. This is the days of kings. This is the inauguration of the first temple. This is the glory of the Lord is associated with fire and cloud. And it's the glory of Yahweh. Okay? And we will find that the Lord spoke out of that. So, Matthew, now let's go to the New Testament.
I'm sorry, just one question.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm not going to ruin it or anything like that. The word Shekinah, so, or Shekinah, is that the same glory we're talking about here?
I'm not sure if you can find the word Shekinah in the Bible. I'm not sure. I'll have to double check that. But this is Kabod, which is the glory. Have you heard of the who had the son? Was it Hosea? And they called him Ichabod, which meant the glory has departed from Israel. Ichabod. We say Ichabod. Ichabod. The glory has departed. Anyway, Ichabod is glory. Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. Last scripture.
Matthew 17:5.
Yep. You'll know this scripture.
While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased, hear him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid.
Okay, so here we have this bright cloud, not just a cloud, a bright cloud. Now, can you imagine the children of Israel walking through the desert, the wilderness, and the cloud was a cloud by day, but a fire by night? Did it change, or was it the same cloud? It was just a bright cloud, smoke and fire, that during the day looked like smoke. Have you ever seen a fire by day, you know, you, yeah, right. So, and then at night time, it's just, it's bright. So, just this whole appearance of God continues to be associated with fire and flame. So, when we look back, when it says there are two immutable things that happen in the Abrahamic covenant, the first immutable thing is that God Himself, because we're assuming that the smoking oven and the blazing fire are God, but there's two of them. There's two appearances here, there's two things happening. There's the angel of Yahweh, and there seems to be Yahweh. Yahweh and the angel. One standing by while the other one goes, and talking when the other one goes. Or there's this, you know, there's these two people, and there seems to be one that is appears, and there's one that's not. But they're not two. There seem to be one in their language. One, they both can be worshipped. But there seems to be two powers. This is where the whole doctrine of the two powers comes from. These experiences of these great men of God. Okay, so, and as we get into the New Testament, we will begin to see that when God reveals Himself and becomes flesh, it doesn't seem that's the first time that He has. But to appear as He did, as the Messiah, the Son of God, Messiah, that's a different level. But anyway, the first immutable thing is this. God took His own part in the oath. Can God's oath be broken? Can He lie?
No.
So when He took His part in this oath with Abraham, He is saying, I am God, and if I break my oath, my covenant with you, then I will cease to be God. It's not possible. But then when Abram is supposed to take his part, God appears in there as well. Whether one's the smoking fire or the cloud and one's the fire, which one is which, I don't know. But when it's Abram's turn to step into, Abram's asleep, so God steps in. So the second immutable thing is that in Abram's part, Abram's not there. Because that would have been changeable, able to be changed. It could have been immutable. But the fact that God stepped in and walked through on His part makes it the second immutable thing. Isn't that? So to me, it's a simple thing, because the reference in Hebrews 6 is to the Abrahamic covenant. Two immutable things in which God cannot lie, He says. So... So if we read this thing again, God determined to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it's impossible for God to lie, we might have the strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hope of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. So... the Abrahamic covenant, according to the New Testament, is a covenant that will never and can never be broken. And our salvation, your salvation, my salvation, is linked, inescapably anchored to, is a refuge, because God cannot lie, and He took both parts of the covenant. It's a unilateral, unbreakable, everlasting covenant. So therein is that section of that part of the cover. We've got lots more to cover, and we'll talk about next week about the actual sons, the descendants, the seeds of Abraham through which this is going to be fulfilled. So we'll look at Isaac next week and circumcision, and why that is constantly mentioned through the New Testament. All right. God bless you. Any questions before we close? I'm mindful. I don't want to go late each week, because I know you've got to go. You usually have to spin away. So, any questions?
I do. The covenant is for eternity, but there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. So, what happens there?
Is it until the end of the age? Is the word eternity forever and ever and ever and ever? Or is it to the end of the age?
Everlasting covenant. Well, you've got to be really sure of the new heavens and new earth, meaning new heavens and new earth.
Oh. And does it, from your research?
Well, I mean, I would encourage you that at the end of the millennial reign of Jesus, or the kingdom, it's called the kingdom. That's called the kingdom of God. When Jesus comes back and begins his reign, to then it's called the kingdom of God. 1,000 years of scriptures, we learn that in the New Testament. At the end of that, there is a judgment, a great white throne judgment, and it starts a period called the world to come. But at the end of that, an interesting thing happens, is that out of the sky, the New Jerusalem comes down.
Yeah.
Yes, but where does it come down to? Where is the Apostle John looking at all this from? And does the word new heavens and earth mean brand new as in replaced, or does it mean renewed? These are debates that scholars...
The first heaven and the first earth have passed away. So 1, 2, 3 heavens, so the earthly heaven has passed away, and there will be no more sea. So if it's not terminated and a new one created, there's a massive change, because suddenly there's no sea. So it's a massive polymorphism.
Polymorphism. Yeah, right.
And the stars